verses 1 through 11 from 1 Corinthians 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, the word gifts is not in the original manuscript. It should read, "Now concerning spiritual, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of gifts, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." We're going to talk about a new aspect this morning. Will a man rob God? When we talk about that kind of subject, will a man rob God, we immediately think of the offering. We think of money. But when the prophet Malachi wrote those words, he went on to talk more than just withholding sustenance from the Lord, money, whatever that may be. You can rob God in so many ways. And I believe very strongly that God is being robbed today in the spiritual realm. I believe today that God is being robbed because of ignorance. And I want to talk with you about this for a while this morning. Paul says, "Now concerning the spiritual, I would not have you unaware." Let me ask you a question. When something happens, how do you know that it is the work of the Holy Spirit? How do you know? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:1, "Now concerning spiritual, brethren, I would not, or I do not want you to be unaware." The word unaware can be translated ignorant. Now, in most translations, the word gifts appears in italics, because that particular word is not in the Greek text at all. Now, the only word in the text is spiritual. So Paul was really saying to the Corinthians here, concerning spiritualists or spirituals, I don't want you to be unaware or ignorant. Now, the Greek word for the spirituals here is pneumatikon, and that's a beautiful word in the Greek because it comes from pneuma, which stands for spirit, and when icon is placed on the end of any verb or compound verb in the Greek, it signifies characterization, or it means controlled by. So pneumatikon here means characterized or controlled by the Holy Spirit. And we need to think about this controlling by the Holy Spirit. Control by the Holy Spirit. We need to be in tune to the point that we are controlled continually by the Holy Spirit. But how do you know that it is the Holy Spirit who is controlling you? When it came to certain things characterized or controlled by the Spirit, Paul did not want his brethren to be ignorant. Now, why did Paul want to be sure the Corinthians weren't ignorant about spiritual gifts? Because the church could not be mature without a right use of spiritual gifts. Now, maturity is a very, very important aspect of church life. I often get into trouble in wider circles, or I used to when I was lecturing, when I used to talk about people who were still wearing nappies in churches. Paul is making us aware of how easy it is for the church of God to be robbed. And it's usually man that robs God. And women, when you speak about man, you mean mankind. Now, the church cannot function without spiritual gifts, And so naturally, Satan is going to try and counterfeit them. And Satan is going to do everything he can to cause misunderstanding and misconceptions about the spiritual gifts in order to cause confusion and chaos. Now, beloved, it happened in Corinth, and it is happening today. People are getting carried away in a manner similar to that described by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, where Paul says, "You know that whenever you were pagans, you were led astray to dumb idols, however you were led." Now in this verse, verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 12, the word pagans means those who do not know God. Now what Paul was referring to here was the paganism from which the Christians had been converted. Now Paul was speaking of their former practices in which they were the victims of the mystery religions, and they were led away, that is, they were victims of a false system. The Greek here for carried away is apagio, A-P-A-G-O, apagio. And this is a verb, it's frequently used in Scripture, and it describes leading a condemned person away to prison. Now the principle here is simply this. Paul was telling the Corinthians that they used to worship the way the pagans do. That is, led away by demons to the ecstasies of their mystery religions. And they were bringing the same old patterns into the church and letting demons invade their worship of Christ. They were unable to distinguish between the usual and the unusual, between demonic and the divine. They could not distinguish what was of God and what was of Satan, and there was chaos in the church. Now, Paul is saying, in essence, to these people, you are robbing God because you do not know who the Holy Spirit is. Now, let's keep going down the gold mine for a little while. Now, there was, in the lives of some of these people, the work of the Holy Spirit. That is very, very clear. But in many cases, they were literally mistaking the acts of Satan for the work of the Holy Spirit. So Paul has to draw a distinction, and this is how he does it. He says the truly spiritual ones were not those who were carried or led away. The truly spiritual person is not swept away into trances or ecstasies and emotional frenzies. When a person is out of control, he is never controlled by the Holy Spirit. Well, let us go down the gold mine this morning and look at a great secular truth with a demonic expression. It is this: only the valuable is counterfeited. People don't counterfeit what isn't valuable. People counterfeit what is valuable because that's the only reason for doing the counterfeiting. Now, Satan was busy in the Corinthian church counterfeiting spiritual gifts, and he's busy doing the same thing today. We must see the difference. The tragedy in accepting the counterfeit is that we forfeit the genuine. Now, let us try and bring all of this more out into the open for you. Mrs. Mary Baker Eddy, the leader and the founder of the Christian Science movement, was far from being a biblical literalist in any sense of the word. In fact, she parted company from the liberals of her day, that is, those who demythologized the Bible and insisted that passages reporting miracles were merely embellished stories told by Christ's followers. She, to the contrary, upheld the accuracy of the miracle narratives, arguing that the actual works of Jesus Christ formed God's revelation to mankind far more than the written accounts of these works. That was error number one for Mary Baker Eddy. But while accepting the miracles as being literally true, her analysis of them was far different than that held by traditional biblical scholars of her day, who maintained that a miracle is an interruption of the laws of nature. That is, a supernatural event that the laws of nature themselves are ordained of God. Now, there's something you need to understand about miracles. The Greek word for miracle in your Bible is dunamis, and that is the same word for power. And what we're looking at this morning, well, a man robbed God in the spiritual realm, we're looking at dunamis versus dunamis. How do you know when a miracle is of God and a miracle is of Satan? Remember that a miracle is a supernatural intervention by God. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, you'll read of a supernatural miracle of God when he stopped the universe, and the scientists are still looking for the missing minute. So Paul here has to really indicate to these people, through some direct teaching, that they are robbing God. There are many today who are robbing God. Now, Mrs. Baker Eddy, Mary Baker Eddy, went on in her presentation of material to argue that the material world was so filled with pain and desolation that it could not be ordained by God. Now, the miracle introduces no disorder, she claimed, but unfolds the primal order establishing the science of God's unchangeable law. That is, miracles are thus natural demonstrations of divine power. Now, this is where Mary Baker Eddy went astray. She was not a Greek scholar, of course, and she did not understand the significance of the Greek word dunamis, a bit like many congregations today who go astray because they don't know what the Bible teaches. This, of course, became a tragedy for her. Now, the most distinctive and widely publicized doctrine of Christian Science can be summed up in one her statement made by Mary Baker Eddy, and it is this: it is unchristian to believe that pain and sickness are anything but illusions. And when asked why Christian Science theology alone is valid in healing the sick, she responded by saying, "The theology of Christian Science is truth, opposed to which is the error of sickness, sin, and death that truth destroy." And she claimed that a mind cure is a matter cure. Now, I want you to think of that. A mind cure is a matter cure. And here she makes another error, and she heads straight back into Gnosticism. You may not know a great deal about Gnosticism, but if you know your Bible, you will, because Paul constantly was confronted with the dogmas of Gnosticism. And so now she heads into Gnosticism, where she argues very strongly that the mind cure is a matter cure. Well, the theology of Christian Science is based on the action of the divine mind over the human mind and body, whereas mind cure rests on the notion that the human mind can cure its own disease, or that which causes the disease. Well, at this point, let me tell you what the faith teaches, Kenyon and Hagen and a few others, and they say a true believer should never be sick by confessing his faith in the healing redemption of Christ. The Christian can and should know perfect faith. And here they distort Isaiah 53. I want to tell you today that the Bible does not teach any healing in the atonement. Perhaps later on, somewhere, by God's grace, I might even have time to teach you that. Now, back to this woman, Mary Baker Eddy, for a moment. For a truth of error, which very few Christians know very little about, was Christian Science influenced by spiritualism and the occult? Oh, yes, it was. The well-known Baptist man, A.J. Gordon, of whom I've got several books and great man of God, he and others, of course, challenged Mary Baker Eddy, and naturally she denied the accusation, And she argued that Christian Science had done more to reverse the upsurge in spiritualism and the occult than any other religious movement. Now, despite her denial, there was a closer affinity between Christian Science and the occult, and many people were unaware of it. And she herself had been fascinated with spiritualism as a young woman. She transfers all that she had learnt out of spiritualism, and she places the emphasis now on what was called MAM. Some of you will know what MAM is. You've been to the Friday night, good students of the word. MAM stands for malicious animal magnetism. Malicious animal magnetism. MAM is occultic. She conceded, finally, that MAM was occultic. But she insisted that it was a product of the mortal mind, not a manifestation of divine power. And yet, finally, MAM became such a fundamental teaching in Christian Science, especially during the 1880s, that it was virtually turned into an occult practice of its own merit. Well, what is the bottom line in Christian Science in the issue of healing? No medical help needed. What is the bottom line in the faith healers, Kenyon and all these fellas, Hagen, and no medical help needed? If you don't get healed, you haven't got enough faith. Another heresy we may look at in detail, won't have time today, but some other time, is a movement called Scientology. The founder of this, of course, is Ronald Hubbard, who wrote a book called The Modern Science of Mental Health, and billions of copies were sold. The heresy claimed very clearly to do by faith what psychiatrists could not do. And those who had utilized Dianetics but resisted any type of authority, that is, authority from religious connections, were condemned by Hubbard. Dianetics is playing around in the area of metaphysics. Metaphysics. Metaphysics are operating every Sunday in every Christian church by someone who comes in to destroy it. Well, Dianetics, what does it mean? It means a system of therapy aimed at achieving total mental health by cleansing the mind, especially by the process of recollecting all one's past experiences. That is, without any cleansing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where did he get this word from? He got it from the Greek philosophy, and there's a word in the Bible which is very, very akin to his teaching called Dianoetics. And this pertains to reasoning, the reasoning of the mind, the thought processes of thinking, which comes from the Greek culture and the great philosophers of the day like Plato and Aristotle, and all of those great minds were very, very conscious of the usage of this particular form of word. Now, anyone who had a variation on Hubbard's science were then termed black Dianetics, and the dangers of which were exposed to the true Scientologist. And in many respects, the early division between secularists and religionists resemble the early years of Christian Science, when Mary Baker Eddy was transforming the healing arts of P.P. Quimby into a self-styled authoritarian religion. Heard of P.P. Quimby? Well, P.P. Quimby was an interesting character. But anyhow, Mary Baker Eddy condemned those who went their separate ways and accused them of practicing not what she called black Dianetics, but MAM, which was malicious animal magnetism. Now, who's P.P. Quimby? Phineas Pankhurst Quimby could be called the father of Christian Science. In the late 1850s, Quimby was exploring mental health, which he called the science of man. He had previously used the term the science of Christ. And Mrs. Mary Baker Eddy formed a relationship with this Dr. Quimby because she had some back trouble. And when she arrived in Portland, Maine, in America in 1862, she committed herself to his care for treatment for this spinal inflammation in the back. Now, for a moment or two, let us go down the gold mine a little further and see what the spiritualists teach. They teach the following doctrine. They emphasize right living here on earth believing that their condition in the spirit world depends entirely upon what they do while in mortal form. Here you have Gnosticism again. You have the spiritual versus matter. And what they really taught, and what Quimby really taught, was it didn't really matter what you did with the body, with the matter. You could go and commit adultery if you were married several times a day with several women. It didn't really matter, because the body was only just physical matter, and it had no bearing on spiritual issues at all. Yet the Bible teaches that the body is complete, body, spirit, and soul. Well, they believe also in infinite intelligence, and that the phenomena of nature, physical and spiritual, are the expressions of infinite intelligence, that the existence of personal identity of the individual continues after the change called death, and that communication with the so-called dead is a fact scientifically proven by the phenomena of spiritualism. They also believe in the golden rule, and that man makes his own happiness or unhappiness as he obeys or disobeys nature and nature's psychic laws. They say that the doorway to reformation is never closed against any human soul here or in the hereafter. Great. There's a good gospel for you. Be saved after you die. Spiritualists are opposed to war, to capital punishment, and to every form of tyranny. They do not believe in forgiveness of sin, but each person has to work out his own destiny through moral or spiritual evolution. Well, Great Britain and the United States are covered with these people. I've been to England for 3 crusades now. I've been to Scotland and to Ireland and these places in the UK. And I want to tell you that a lot of people think that the fastest moving faith in England at the moment is the Islamic faith. It's moving. There's no question about it. It'll be hard to find a white person in England in another decade. But I want to tell you that the fastest moving church, if you want to call it that, in England today, is the spiritualists. And they're sending out their little spies to Australia. And they're planting them in churches. Did you know that? How would you pick one? How would you pick a spiritualist if one was sitting in this congregation today? How would you know who they are? Well, Great Britain and the United States came alive during the Second World War, and ever since the Second World War, there's been a great revival in the spiritualism. Well, spiritualism has always existed, and its history may be traced through the centuries. Now, spirits themselves, the set, or the spiritualists, or the spiritism, whatever you like to call them, assert that their information has reached them through honest channels and has come from the spirits of departed human beings who live in the spheres close to our own world. Do you know what that is? That is what is called channeling. You know what